Okay, here I would like to speak about non-hierarchical large-scale dynamos. This is a review of works which has been done in collaboration with Nathan Cleveland. He's present here. Also Tarek Youssef, Alex Chikachikhin, Toby Huneman, Alexei Skakov, Steve Cowley, and Jim McWilliams. Outline of this talk. Sorry?
You win the prize for most authors in this talk.
Yeah. Okay. Outline of this talk. First of all, we will speak about numerical simulations in non-hierarchical turbulence in a shearing box. Then we will discuss effects of kinetic helicity with zero mean on mean field dynamo. We'll speak in also about shear current effects and related effect, which is a generation of large-scale vorticity in a shear turbulence. All this effect we study theoretically using second-order correlation approximation. This is first-order smoothing when linear terms are dropped, and it allows to calculate mean electromotive force. So this approach works only for small Reynolds number. For larger Reynolds number, it's possible to use tau approximation or renormalization approach. Maybe I will speak about this a little later. Okay, at the end, we will speak about applications to astrophysics, laboratory dynamo. Okay, the main question which we would like to discuss here, is it possible to generate large-scale magnetic field in a turbulence, which is non-helical, okay, and homogeneous turbulence? So mean helicity equals zero. But nevertheless, is it possible to generate large-scale magnetic field in a scales which are much larger than the maximum scale of turbulent motions? First, let's speak about numerical simulations. Actually, these numerical simulations has been initiated by our theoretical studies. So this setup was made in order to check a theory. Okay, so we consider white noise, non-helical, homogeneous and isotropic random forcing, and the post mean linear velocity shear. So we consider shear in box, shear periodic boundary conditions. Since we would like to discuss large-scale effects, and it is known that the main contribution to the large-scale effects comes from the maximum scale of turbulent motions, so we don't need to have a very long inertial range in order to generate large-scale magnetic field. So Reynolds number is not high. It's about 30. And setup is the following. We consider incompressible MHD equations with background shear. And we perform simulations in elongated box. The reason is the following. We put forcing in the scale, which is one third of the scale of this side. But for generation of large-scale magnetic field, we need to have separation of scales.
Igor, it's 3.5 because Reynolds number is 30.
Okay, it depends on the definition of the Reynolds number.
With your MSL notes and you have here.
Okay, in any case, Reynolds number is not large, but it should be more than unity at least. Okay, now. We would like to consider very simple setup when there is
not one third, because mu and eta tend to the minus 2.
Yeah.
It immediately gives you 30.
Yes, 30.
Is there something wrong with
okay, in principle, it doesn't matter. Okay. First of all, okay, we would like to consider very, very simple setup. So we have mean field. Which depends only on the vertical size. So BZ equals zero. And for generation of large-scale magnetic field, we need to have separation of scales. So we and also, since the growth rate is small in comparison with the turbulence times, so characteristic time of generation of the field is much larger, so we have to run very long these simulations. And also, we need to have separation of scale in Z direction, so this scale should be much larger than the forcing scale. And since theories are developed for small shear in comparison with the characteristic turbulence time, so this parameter is small, so we'd like to impose to the system small velocity shear. And this is the reason why we have to use resolution in the X and Y direction is not high, but in Z direction, resolution will be very high. And so we have to choose some compromise. And how simulation is performed? So let's, for some scale LZ, there is a growth of the large scale magnetic field. Then we increase in twice the size of the box. If the growth rate doesn't change, we think that there is a convergence of results. Okay, now, so we really observed generation of large-scale magnetic field in non-helical turbulence with imposed shear. At this stage, we would like to study kinematic stage of kinematic regime of generation of large-scale magnetic field. So field is really generated, and the maximum energy is concentrated in the large scale. This is a forcing scale. Of course, there are magnetic fluctuations due to the tangling of the large scale magnetic field by velocity fluctuations, but their energy is much more than the energy of large scale magnetic field. This large scale field, it is seen even in a snapshot, this distribution of magnetic field in that direction.
Do you have a sense of how much power is driving the flow from the forcing term relative to how much power is driving the flow from the shear?
Oh, okay. Good question. Okay. In this system, in the presence of shear, we have also generation of large-scale vorticity. So we have two productions of turbulence, by forcing and by shear. And we choose the parameter range so that the production due to the forcing will be much larger than production due to the shear. Otherwise, we don't have separation of scales. Okay? So, and this is possible to choose such region. So we can neglect practically forcing production of the turbulence caused by the shear. But we will discuss this question a little later when I will discuss generation of large scale.
Because how you measure which is large and which is small is maybe subtle.
SU, XU1 is far smaller than epsilon, which is opposite.
Yeah. Concern now is involved in these numerical simulations. In the continuation of this numerical simulation, so better. Okay, now what is found that the growth rate scales with the shear linearly. So this linear dependence, growth rate versus shear, maybe for smaller shear, there is quadratic dependence. Later I will compare numerical results with analytical theories and we'll discuss these results more detailly, but first of all, numerical simulations shows that really there is generation of large-scale magnetic field. And this magnetic field practically is directed along the shear and velocity. So BY component is much larger than BX component. Okay, now, there was also early indication of generation, yeah.
Shear is in this direction.
Yeah.
It's independent of Z.
Yeah, exactly. Just a moment, I will show you. Yeah. Shear in X, Y plane.
Okay.
And magnetic field depends on Z. And this size is much larger than the forcing scale.
You're only doing the kinematic problem.
Sorry?
You're only doing the kinematic problem.
Of course, there is. Here we will discuss, in numerical simulation, we'll discuss kinematic problem in the sense of the magnetic field. But of course, here there is also generation of large scale vorticity. But we will speak about this a little later.
I mean, can't you just do the subharmonic problem?
Sorry?
Kinematically, can't you look for the growth of a subharmonic node, something that's on a scale larger than a box?
Okay. Okay. Conditions for threshold for generation depends on the scale of magnetic field.
Right.
So if the size of the box is small, so we're below the threshold of generation of large scale magnetic field. Also here there are no small scale dynamo. So we choose magnetic Reynolds number so that no any small scale dynamo, I mean small scale dynamo in the dynamo with a zero mean magnetic field.
Kinematically, you can take a small box and look for the evolution of a field on a longer scale in that box.
Yeah.
Problem. You can look at the evolution of a field on kind of any scale.
Yeah.
But you need to fix a wavelength sometimes.
Yeah.
But I mean, the field here is not a pure
wavelength. No, it's a linear problem. So if you want to find a
just in the beginning, in the end, it's not total problem. No problem.
It's a function of Z.
Just in the beginning, it's linear and kinematic.
Oh, sure. I mean, you can't do that in a non-linear problem.
Yeah, but of course we obtain saturation of the magnetic field at the level of equipartition field. But let us now discuss kinematic stage, and then we'll discuss the
question.
Maybe
a
stupid one. You don't have a mean shear, but just the local shear of turbulence would not be sufficient to have the large scale dynamo.
Okay, you mean local? Okay, we impose. We can see the shearing box. So it's very important that we have turbulence, isotropic and homogeneous. We impose to this system very small shear in comparison with the characteristic turbulence time. So parameter S tau is small.
Yeah, but if it's
so we consider small modification of turbulence by the shear. But it is enough in order to generate large scale magnetic field.
Well, your shear so, term has two effects. You have shear in your momentum equation, but you also have shear in your induction equation.
Yeah, of course.
But those are independent facts, causally.
But we need and both. We need both.
Of course we need both, yeah. This mean velocity, so this mean velocity exists also in the momentum equation and here in the induction. Of course, this mean velocity.
The
shearing box, shear periodic boundary conditions.
So it's imposed only on the boundary. The shear is only imposed on the boundary.
On the boundary, yes, exactly. It's moving of the boundary walls. Just linear velocity shear. Linear velocity shear. Okay, let me go on and. Okay, there was also other numerical simulations which initiated by our studies. This is Axel Brandenburg. He considered nonlinear shear velocity field. So this is non-helical, constant in time sinusoidal forcing imposed on the turbulence, open boundary conditions. In this simulations, he also observed, he also has small-scale dynamo, but nevertheless, there is a generation of large-scale magnetic field and then saturation. Okay, so numerical simulations show that it's possible to generate large-scale magnetic field. Now, how it's possible to understand theoretically? What is the reason for generation of large-scale magnetic field in a scale which are much larger than this maximum scale of turbulent motions? Let's consider the first effect, the effect of kinetic helicity fluctuations with a zero mean on mean field dynamo. In the first, this problem was formulated by Bob Creighton in 1967. He formulated the problem in the following way. Let's, in small scales, there is small scale turbulence generated by some forcing Fu. In the larger scales, there is another forcing which generate kinetic helicity fluctuations. So there are fluctuations of alpha. And large scale effects, mean effects, are considered at the scales which are much larger than the maximum scale of kinetic helicity fluctuations. Okay? So we have here separation of scales. First of all, between small scale turbulence, then there are in larger scales kinetic helicity fluctuations, and then we discuss mean field effects and zero value. Fluctuations of alpha has zero mean value, but nevertheless, alpha squared doesn't equal zero. Okay? It's not easy to realize this setup, but from theoretical point of view, it's very clear setup. So we need to have, in order to derive mean field equations, we need to perform double averaging of ensemble of turbulent velocity field and ensemble of fluctuations of alpha. And this problem was studied in a number of papers, starting with Bob Krechnan. And we will discuss some of this. Very important paper has been done by Mike Proctor. He's present here. And after this paper, interest to this problem strongly increased. Okay, now, we also study this problem using second order correlation approximation and tau approach. So this approach is valid for small Reynolds number. Its tau approach is valid for large Reynolds number. Also, we apply renormalization procedure for study this principle. Okay, several words. What is the tau approximation? So, second order correlation approximation. In this approximation, we drop nonlinear terms. So, it is easy to close this system of equations for the second moments, which doesn't contain third moments. And it's possible to calculate electromotive force. Okay, but again, this approach is valid for small Reynolds number. Now, let us take into account nonlinear terms, just in the following way. Let's consider background turbulence, isotropic and homogeneous. Let us impose to the system small magnetic field or small shear. Okay? So that there is a deviation from the background turbulence. And this approach implies the following. We express deviations of the third moments caused by nonlinear terms in terms of the deviation of the second moments in some crude way in the relaxation form. Maybe I will show you just. So just this. So we use equation for the velocity, fluctuations, magnetic fluctuations, cross helicity, and deviations of the third moments due to the nonlinear terms from the background state are expressed in terms of the deviation of the second moments in the form of tau relaxation. So if we switch off mean magnetic field or shear, there is a relaxation to the background turbulence during the correlation time. Of course, this is a crude procedure. There is another way for study of these processes. This is a renormalization procedure. Just we average, equations up to the, some scales which are inside the inertial range. Then we increase of scale of averaging by small value, by small scales, and this procedure allows to get equations for the transport coefficients like turbulent viscosity, magnetic diffusion, and other coefficient of the mean electromotive force as the function of scales which are inside the inertial range. Of course, for small scales in dissipative range, this coefficient should be coincides with molecular coefficient, and in the maximum scale of turbulent motions, this coefficient yields transport, describes transport. The first paper on this method was has been done by Keith Moffat in 1981 and in 1983. Okay. Okay, now. Okay. Now, okay. Of course, we reproduced previous results of the effect of kinetic helicity fluctuations on the mean field dynamo. So, first, a trivial effect, there is negative contribution to the turbulent magnetic diffusion. Of course, we have turbulence, and there is regular turbulent diffusion, which is proportional to U root mean square multiplied by the turbulent scale. And there is a small addition to this diffusion, which is a negative. But this contribution is small. Yeah. So this is the first effect. This effect has been derived in the first by Bob Kraikman. If kinetic helicity fluctuations are non-uniform, so there is a non-zero gradient of alpha square, so in this situation, there can be large-scale drift velocity of the mean magnetic field. So magnetic field is pushed to the region with the higher fluctuations of alpha. This affected drift velocity. This result was obtained in the first, I think, by Kiss-Moffat, 1978. Here we have, these effects exist in homogeneous isotropic turbulence. If we impose to this system also shear, then there is an additional effect. In spite of the fact mean value of fluctuations of alpha equals zero, nevertheless, there is mean alpha effect. So if we have shear directed in y direction, homogeneous in x direction, so there is background vorticity in z direction. And this, if there are inhomogeneity of fluctuations of alpha square in the z direction along the ground vorticity, then there is a mean alpha effect. So we have here combined effect of shear and mean alpha effect, and there can be large-scale dynamo. But and this effect is similar to, this effect is similar to alpha-omega dynamo, classical alpha-omega dynamo, just in the first, this result has been derived by Zilantiev in 2000. Yeah, Steve.
Just ask about that second one, the large-scale drift velocity. Did you just say it gets pushed into the region with the larger fluctuation?
Yeah.
But you might expect if you have a more turbulent region and a less turbulent region,
Yeah, you mean the magnetic effect.
Yeah.
So yeah. If turbulence is inhomogeneous, of course, there is the magnetic effect. The velocity equals minus 1/2 tau naught gradient u square. Here there is minus.
Right.
This is the reason that the magnetic field is pushed out from the regions with the high fluctuations. And this is effect like a paramagnetic effect. Like a paramagnetic effect. It's not diamagnetic. Magnetic field is pushed down to the regions with the higher fluctuations of alpha. Yeah, but there are examples of paramagnetic effects, just density stratification can result in this. And in nonlinear situations, also there can be paramagnetic effects. It's not surprising. Okay, now, the next effect, which is very interesting, in the first, Mike Proctor asked the question, is it possible to generate large-scale magnetic field in the situation when fluctuations of alpha are homogeneous? In this situation, these two effects vanishes. Gradient alpha square equals zero. There is only negative contribution to turbulent magnetic diffusion. What else there is in this system? Okay, we check the situation. For simple situation equations for y component, the component along the velocity, is the following. So there is a shear, which if we have bx component, and there is a shear motions, so it causes stretching of the field in y direction and produces by. So this is a simple effect, but it's not yet a dynamo. We need to have a closed loop. We need to generate also bx component from by component. And kinetic helicity fluctuations causes the additional contribution to electromotive force, which depends on alpha square. And of course, dynamo is a equation of is quantitative equation. If there is dynamo or there is no. Okay, if we consider enough general form of fluctuation of alpha, so there is some decay of correlation function as exponent minus tau divided by p tau. So tau chi, in this situation, we don't observe large-scale dynamo. This coefficient is positive, so there are no dynamo. But if we impose to this forcing also additional additional oscillations. So this is a colored forcing. So we have decay and oscillations of this decay. In this situation, really, it's possible to generate large-scale magnetic field by this mechanism. But you need to have that frequency of oscillations multiplied by correlation time to be more, at least, at unity. Yeah, so in principle, there is such possibility for the large-scale dynamo. But of course, how to realize this non-trivial setup, how to realize these things, it's questionable. But nevertheless, there is such possibility. Okay, now, but in this simple numerical simulation, we don't have such situations. So we have to understand what is the reason for generation of large-scale magnetic field. Not to understand the physics, let me remind you a classical mechanism for excitation of large-scale magnetic field is the alpha-omega dynamo, how it works. So since we speak about the large-scale field, we have to average induction equation over ensemble of velocity fluctuations. And so this is a mean field equation. This is mean velocity, just a shear. This magnetic diffusion due electrical conductivity of fluids. And all information are inside this correlator U cross B, which is called U fluctuations of velocity, B fluctuations of magnetic field. And all information about the fluctuations are contained inside these two. In a simple situation, this correlator has two terms. One is proportional of magnetic field, and this is alpha effect, which is very often is related with the kinetic helicity, with the U curl U mean value. How this effect works? So we have original magnetic field lines. Deformations of these original magnetic field lines is caused by the upward and downward turbulent eddies. If we have inhomogeneous turbulence, it breaks a symmetry. So the total effect of deformation caused by the upward motion eddies doesn't equal the doesn't compensate it, the effect of deformation caused by the downward eddies, and this causes a non-zero effect, which causes generation of electric current, produce electric current along the original magnetic field, and it can cause dynamo. Instead of inhomogeneity of turbulence, there can be stratification, density stratification, which also can break symmetry and causes non-zero total effect of deformations. And in combination with differential rotation, with shear, it can produce large-scale dynamo. In such a way, so from if there is poloidal field, just stretching of this field by the shear or differential rotation produces by component, and then alpha effect produces from toroidal field poloidal field. So loop is closed, and there is a dynamo. Now, if alpha effect equals zero, what we have? Of course, in the electromotive force, we don't have alpha beta. But since we have shear, we have background vorticity. And there is an additional term, vorticity current effect. Okay? And this is a very important term. How this term works, how it can generate large-scale magnetic field. This vorticity current effect, J is a curl of B. So this is double vector product. We can open the calculate this double vector product and rewrite this term like a vorticity dot lambda B is inhomogeneous turbulence multiplied by B. There is also another term with a gradient of B, but since in the mean field equation we calculate curl of electromotive force, so gradient term vanishes. And what we see here, if we compare it with the alpha effect, with the alpha B term, caused, for example, by rotation, we have rotation and the homogeneity of turbulence. We see that vorticity plays the role of rotation, uniform rotation, and inhomogeneity of the magnetic field plays a role of inhomogeneity of turbulence. And the form of this effect is very similar. So it's easy to understand how this effect works. Why there is a systematic increase of the large-scale magnetic field. We have original magnetic field lines. Deformation of these lines is caused by the upward and downward turbulent eddies. Since we have originally a non-uniform field, which breaks the symmetry between the deformation caused by the upward and downward eddies, and it causes systematic increase of the large-scale magnetic field. So how this effect works? So first of all, we have shear, and so stretching of Bx component by shear produces By component, this trivial effect, and then interaction of the ground vorticity with original non-uniform magnetic field produces electric current along the original field, which implies generation of Bx component from By component. So, view of how it works in view of equations. So this is equation for By component. Just shearing terms generate By component from Bx. Trivial effect. And here there is contribution to the electromotive force due to the shear motions, due to the generation of anisotropic fluctuations, which causes interaction of background vorticity with original non-uniform field produces electric current in Y along the magnetic field, which implies generation of the X component from the Y component. And this is a growth rate. Yeah?
These equations are exactly the same equations as the ones you get from the fluctuating
Exactly. Well, okay. Equation looks similar. Just here there is, okay.
Yeah.
Here there is the following combination. dB x dt equals sigma alpha s. Now there is alpha square multiplied by the tau chi square. Okay? Yeah? And minus this effect, sigma b, as here there is u square multiplied by tau naught square. Okay, and this is b y second derivative. Of course, there is a competition between these two.
Unless sigma alpha is negative.
Yeah, if sigma alpha is negative, just I demonstrated that if there is a forcing and there are oscillations, in that case, this effect contributes to the dynamo. If there are no such things, there is this effect.
Sigma B is always positive, isn't it?
Sorry?
Sigma B is always
okay, now, the question about sigma, of course, again, the question about the dynamo, this is a quantitative question, okay? Okay. Okay. In the case of large Reynolds number, sigma b depends on the scaling of the correlation time on scale. For example, if we consider Kolmogorov scaling, we really get sigma b is positive. And also, if we have a small scale dynamo, there is positive contribution to this effect. Even if we have convection, heat flux causes positive contribution to this effect. Now, if we have small Reynolds number, now this equation under the debate. In the case of Prandtl number equals unity, no dynamo. Recently, a year ago, Rüdiger said, for small magnetic Prandtl number, even in the case of small Reynolds number, there can be dynamo. And we confirmed this conclusion. But nevertheless, this question about small Reynolds number is under debate because there are some peculiarities there in the description. Because if you have shear, it's not trivial to apply. It is not trivial to apply second-order correlation approximations. There are several non-trivial places there, so this is under debate. But the same results were obtained also in another approach, not only by tau approximation, also using a renormalization procedure, which showed that really there is dynamo. And this effect, okay, also interesting question. If we take, for example, very simple model of turbulence, Kreitman-Kazantsev model, delta correlating time velocity field, is it possible to obtain the results? The answer, unfortunately, not, because the presence, study of shear requires finite correlation time. It's principle. So effect is quadratic in the correlation time, tau square. So we need to take into account finite correlation time in order to study effect of shear on turbulence. So
how does it depend on the actual scaling of the velocity field?
Okay, it's okay. This result depends on the scaling of the correlation time. Okay, for example, for Kolmogorov's scaling, there is a fact, definitely. Only okay, there. If the scaling like k to the minus 2, pure scale like in dissipative scales, this is difficult to produce dynamo without additional effects like a small scale dynamo convection. But okay, yeah. But of course, situation with the real k to the minus 2 scaling is not clear. Situation is not clean because, of course, in addition to these dissipative scales, there is also contribution, some random notions. For example, we can see here. Okay, even constant correlation time yields dynamo for the Reynolds number, which is more than unity, but of the order of unity. Okay, now, since this dynamo really can exist, we have to study this dynamo, and of course, using just similar approach like alpha omega dynamo was studied, it's possible to rewrite these equations in dimensional form. Time is measured in the units or in dissipative units, and so there is a dynamo number, unique parameter, which depends on the ratio of turbulence scale to the scale of shear, in square multiplied by the non-dimensional shear, like r omega in square. And if this parameter is more than 2, then there is a generation of large scale magnetic. Very interesting then, BY component is much larger than BX component if shear is small. We observe this feature in numerical simulations. And also this effect can be interpreted in another way. Due to the shear, turbulence became anisotropic, and this effect can be interpreted as the appearance of non-diagonal terms in the tensor of turbine diffusion. Yeah. We remember Bachelor analogy between the equation for the induction equation and between the equation for the vorticity. They look similar. Of course, we know that vorticity is a curl of V, and V is determined by the Navier-Stokes equation. So this Batchelor analogy is not complete, but nevertheless, if for the same setup there is generation of vorticity or not, the answer, yes, there is. We derive equations for perturbations of vorticity, and we see that the equation for the X component looks like an equation for the BY component. So there is here a stretch in terms of the shear, which produce WX vorticity component from WY. And the equation for the WY component is similar to equation for BX. Of course, physics is different. This effect is caused by the effect of shear on the Reynolds stresses. But nevertheless, the problems are very similar. And growth rate looks like a very similar, but the growth rate for generation of vorticity is much larger than the growth rate of generation of magnetic field. And we observe this in numerical simulations, really, because there is really generation of large-scale vorticity. And since growth rate is large, so we observe a nonlinear stage of generation of vorticity here. Yeah. And also, this effect was studied in collaboration with Stovall-Perrin. This effect, I said that stretching of WY component produces WX component, and the effect of shear on Reynolds stresses produce additional contribution, which can cause dynamo. Also, this effect can be interpreted in terms of anisotropic turbulent viscosity, appearance of non-diagonal terms in the tensor of turbulent viscosity. Also, several words about nonlinear effects. Let's come back to nonlinear shear current effect. This WJ term. Okay.
So on the vorticity dynamo, how does this thing saturate?
How it is saturated?
Because vorticity can't grow exponentially.
Yeah, okay. Vorticity grows exponentially. And there is an effect of large-scale vorticity on the velocity fluctuations. Numerically, we don't study these things because we don't study reconstruction of spectrum and so on. We see only the sign that there can be generation of large-scale vorticity. If we include rotation in the system, this instability will be, under some conditions, stabilized. Of course, there is effect of generation of vorticity on the ground flow, and this is the main reason for saturation of the growth of vorticity. But really, this equation hasn't been studied yet theoretically more carefully. We just study kinematic stage using tau approximation, randomization procedure, and second-order correlation approximation. For small Reynolds number, this effect doesn't occur. So this effect occurs when Reynolds number is larger than unity. Yeah.
Let me remember just that we look over this problem and we find that the main mechanism may be generation of additional turbulent viscosity. Because if you put additional shear, you produce additional turbulence. And this additional viscosity can stop generation of strain.
Yeah. Also, there is a well-known effect, two kinds of parental flows, secondary flows. And these secondary flows are generated, can be interpreted in terms of generation of large-scale vorticity. Okay, about nonlinear effects. Of course, this new shear current effect is nonlinear. In the nonlinear case, we studied this effect, and we found that their nonlinear evolution is different from the evolution of alpha effect. For example, there are no quenching of this effect. There is only the change of the sign of this effect, vorticity current effect, and this point maybe is a point of saturation of the magnetic field, this value of the order of equipartition field. And indeed, if we include a numerical solution of these nonlinear equations, show the saturated level of the magnetic field of the order of equipartition. But since we speak about nonlinear dynamo, we cannot forget about the additional integral of motion. This is total magnetic helicity. which is conserved, which implies that large-scale magnetic helicity, okay, increases due to the growth of the large-scale magnetic field. So there is a dynamics of small-scale magnetic helicity, and we have to take into account additional equation which describes evolution of magnetic helicity. A very important point in all this stuff is the presence of the flux of the magnetic helicity. This is a key point. It's known that under some conditions there is a catastrophic quenching of alpha. This catastrophic quenching, so there is a strong decrease of alpha effects because here there is magnetic Reynolds number. For large magnetic Reynolds number, alpha effect is strongly decreased. But this regime occurs only in the case when the flux of magnetic helicity equals zero. If divergence of this flux is non-zero, we immediately avoid catastrophic quenching of alpha. And the same features were observed also in this new shear current effect. Just if we add additional equation for the evolution of magnetic helicity and consider very simple form of the flux of the magnetic helicity like a turbulent diffusion. So if we have a small flux of magnetic helicity, we have a very low saturated level of magnetic field. If we increase this flux of magnetic helicity so that these terms will be of the same order, these terms we obtain saturation level of the magnetic field of the order of equipartition. Okay, now let's come back to numerical simulations and let's try to understand what we observe here. Okay, this is setup which I explained. So shear in the XY plane, and we study evolution of magnetic field variation in that direction. So this LZ much larger than the forcing scale. Okay. Okay, we really observe generation of large-scale magnetic field, the kinematic stage. And according to theory, if we have a mode inside the box with a maximum growth rate, we have quadratic scaling with a shear.
Just this is for large S.
Sorry?
This is for large S.
This is okay for large S.
But you really have small S. So.
Yeah. Okay. I will speak about this. Yeah. Okay. So we observe here linear dependence of growth rate, which according to theoretical point of view, if mode if we don't have mode with maximum growth rate, we have linear scaling of S. And maybe for small shear we may absorb such scaling, but it's very expensive simulations. We have to perform very, very long simulations for very small shear. So, yeah. Ratio of BY field to BX field is large parameter for small shear. We observe this. There are now questions. There are different remains questions in these simulations. We cannot yet explain the characteristic scale inhomogeneity of the large scale magnetic field. So this is an open question in simulations, but at least we understand very rough features of these dynamos. But I would like to say that this is only the beginning of the work. It's not the end. Yeah.
All this data is for the same body force, for fixed body force?
Yeah. Reynolds, we change only one parameter, shear. Of course, simulation should be performed in different parameter ranges. And now the simulation is running and also concerning Kohn very actively working this field. Okay, now what about the applications? Of course, if we have shear, shear is a very universal feature in astrophysics. Very universal. In many situations we have shear, like imagine protostellar clouds during the non-anelastic collisions, there is formation of shear, I will show below. Also, imagine protogalactic clouds, giant galaxy clusters, also irregular galaxies. There is a problem of explanation of the magnetic field in the irregular galaxies. And maybe it has some relations with the accretion disk. Okay, for example, if we consider an anelastic collision of protogalactic clouds. This was studied by Chernin. We see that there is a formation of shear. This is collision of clouds with different sizes. For example, if we use parameters for this object, protostellar clouds have the mass less than the mass of Sun. Protogalactic clouds is much larger clouds, 10 to the 11th multiplied by mass of the Sun. And this is June clusters. And if we use parameters of turbulence and formation of shear for these clouds, we obtain very reasonable values of the saturated value of magnetic field. But I would like to say that this is the beginning of the study, because this is a new mechanism which should be studied very carefully with different point of views. By the way, we study numerically, this effect was studied using two different codes. One is a Lagrangian spectral code, and another is a pencil code, and these results are very, very similar. Okay, these references for these studies and the conclusions. We found exponential growth of the large-scale magnetic field in non-helical turbulence with superimposed linear shear numerically in elongated boxes. It's possible to interpret this effect in terms of the shear current effect, which occurs even in non-rotating and helical turbulence. Shear dynamo occurs when Reynolds number is more than unity, at least. Nonlinear behavior is very interesting. This effect doesn't quench. It has changed the sign. And also we take into account flux of magnetic helicity and show that this flux of magnetic helicity plays a crucial role in saturation of the large-scale magnetic field. And we believe that this newly discovered shear dynamo effect potentially represents a very generic mechanism for generating large-scale magnetic fields in a broad class of astrophysical systems with specially coherent mean flows, like a shear. And there is also another effect, which is very interesting, but maybe for general case, this effect doesn't work as a mechanism for large-scale dynamo. But for specific case, for specific forcing, it's possible to find that the dynamo exists even due to the fluctuations of kinetic helicity with zero mean. Okay, thank you very much for attention.
Let me say a score on this paper. First of all, about fluctuation of alpha field. Of course, we need a special form from third point of view. I mean, we need something similar to waves. But nevertheless, in solar situation, it is possible. Because we know in photosphere, we've got waves which have more or less the same period as typical time of convective cells. So maybe it's not so, I would say, exotic. Second, if we spoke about weak shear. In the case of strong shear, situation not so trivial. And we know, according to result of Sharania and Subramanian, that in this situation, strong shear can play a role of waves. And so again, we can produce positive dynamo. That's my claim.
Yeah.
I just have one remark about the behavior of the growth rate with S, the shear. You were talking about a deviation from the linear profile of the small s. This is probably to be expected, is it not? Because because the growth rate will be independent of the sign of S. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's the same. And if you expect the growth rate to depend analytically on S, then of course for small s, it will be quadratic in S.
Yeah.
So it's entirely to be expected.
Yeah, I also think so. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could you go back to the equations of motion that you were solving?
The equation of numerical motion.
equations that you're solving.
Yeah.
Some positive, some with 10 or so.
Okay, so you have a velocity shear, which is imposed, which is sort of like a y velocity, which is minus sx, effectively. And then a similar thing on the magnetic field. Have you calculated the mean velocity field that results from the simulations?
Yeah,
I suppose it's not zero.
Okay, just a moment. Okay, we see here, okay. Here we see Rudin, your mass, and we really see in some simulations that there is a excitation of large scale vorticity.
I mean, the reason I was asking is I followed in part your description of how you need a feedback between Bx and By.
Yeah.
So the By generated from Bx just directly from the turn you put in. And then you discussed how Bx can be generated. And it actually seems that if you have the right sort of mean velocity field, which is just coming out of the simulation naturally, that will directly give you a term that converts By to Bx, which is just another shear of the x velocity in the y direction.
Ah, okay.
That would show in your mean velocity.
Yeah, yeah.
You just be able to see that.
Yeah, very nice.
Shear.
Yeah, very nice. Okay. Okay, now this is a question, open question. In view of theoretical consideration, we consider a situation like we don't have generation of large-scale vorticity. Of course, here, what we have? We have the ground shear. We have the ground shear in y direction. So we have the ground vorticity in that direction. Due to the generation of large-scale vorticity, there will be an additional component in x direction. Wx much larger than Wy. This is found from... So there is some kind of rotation of the ground vorticity. Of course, now, at least from the theoretical point of view, we're going to study situation growth large-scale magnetic field in the presence of generated large-scale vorticity, when there is a such rotation.
You could interpret it as vorticity, but you could interpret it as another shear.
Yeah, of course.
Y plane, right?
Yeah, of course. It's a generation of another shear.
So the points are actually hyperbolic in that plane.
Yeah.
Giving you a diagonal direction, which is.
Yeah.
You know, in this periodic geometry, very
this is
high gain.
So large-scale vorticity generated in the simulation is along y. It's omega 1 of z.
Omega x.
Omega
The wx. Okay, magnetic field preferably in y direction, okay? But vorticity, I show that equation for the vorticity for x component is similar to the equation for the y component. And we also showed that from theoretically, just if we forget about magnetic field, we see that preferable direction for the generated large-scale vorticity in x direction,
right.
In the direction of inhomogeneity of original background shear, okay? But nevertheless, we have background vorticity due to the linear shear. We have generated additional vorticity in that direction. So maybe, so there is some rotation of the plane of shear. Of course, it's a complicated question and should be studied very, very carefully. Yeah, but it's possible in principle to exclude situations with the growth of vorticity. If we include rotation into consideration, then there is a stabilization of the growth of vorticity.
Can you show that the plots with vorticity, your MS variations?
Yeah.
Because that's a time scale for this large scale vorticity appearance here, these maps, okay? And there's no correlation between the time scale of this bands of large scale vorticity and the time scale on which a magnetic field grows. Which you would expect.
Well, I wasn't thinking about the time bands, I was just thinking about the mean velocity field.
No, the mean velocity field
has some effect, I guess.
Well, yeah, but there's no mean velocity field in the direction perpendicular to the original shear.
Oh, I'm sure it's not zero. So it's just a question of how big is it? I mean, it's...
No, no, it's... It is zero on average. I mean, it just, this vorticity is just as fluctuations. And there's another comment, which is that now there are simulations with Keplerian rotation, which stabilize all these vorticity motions. And mm-hmm. you just get exactly the same behavior for the right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess my only other comment, which Steve thought was surely not important, but in the equations of motion as you have them, that shear term in B is not divergence free. So I guess somehow you've taken care of that.
You mean
that wasn't written on the slide,
U?
It's so called vector potential.
Okay. No, it's
just the extra term you put in.
You mean this? Divergence. This is exactly this term. B nabla U.
If S is
in the induction equation. It's divergence free.
Just
this term, this is B nabla U.
With that term, it's not zero.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't depend.
Because what BX is doing. Locally, as BX fluctuates, it has to call positive and negative.
No, S
is a constant, it's shear.
But BX is not. So as BX fluctuates,
well, there's another term that comes from the minus SXT, by the way.
Yeah.
It's all right.
But
it's a bit of
the total derivative time, so we've got the additional term.
Yeah.
Okay, we have time for any more comments now? Okay, so let's thank Igor again. Just to say, those people who are new, we have